Breaking news tonight. The U.S. now believes North Korea for the first time fired an intercontinental ballistic missile, the type possibly capable of reaching Alaska, a significant threat. How will the U.S. respond? Stepped up security in cities across the country as crowds gather for fireworks, a major show of force. Authorities taking no chances. Firefight, a growing danger in the sky. Recreational drones hampering efforts to save homes from burning. An urgent call to ground them. Zika threat. This summer, mosquitoes are back, and the fight is already underway to prevent a repeat crisis. And inspiring America. Wounded warriors going for gold. Nightly news begins right now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening. I'm Peter Alexander in for Lester tonight. As Americans celebrate the country's birthday, the U.S. is also caught in an escalating showdown with North Korea. That rogue regime today crossing a dangerous threshold for the first time, successfully launching what U.S. officials believe is an intercontinental ballistic missile capable possibly of reaching the U.S. President Trump tonight is condemning the North Koreans' latest test, warning that America is prepared to act. But what are the options and what are the risks of dealing with the erratic dictator Kim Jong-un? We have that all covered tonight, beginning with NBC's Hans Nichols.
Tonight, Pentagon officials confirming that the launch was an intercontinental ballistic missile. The North Koreans releasing these images of the missile, which could threaten the U.S. The missile launched, announced as a miracle on North Korean state TV. The country's dictator shown watching the launch through binoculars and on TV screens. Aides celebrating afterward. Fired almost straight up into the atmosphere, the missile flew for a record 37 minutes, traveling nearly three times higher than the 570 miles it covered on the ground, splashing down near Japan. But fired at a lower trajectory, the missile could possibly travel more than 4,000 miles, putting Alaska into range. The launch, the 10th test since President Trump assumed office, all in violation of UN resolutions, and grabbing the president's attention, tweeting this morning about Kim Jong-un, "Does this guy have anything better to do with his life? Hard to believe that South Korea and Japan will put up with this much longer. Perhaps China will put a heavy move on North Korea and end this nonsense once and for all." Earlier this year, the top commander in the Pacific admitting that North Korea has already put Hawaii on guard.
Kim Jong-un is clearly in a position to threaten Hawaii today.
2, 1, ignition.
U.S. officials say that their own successful test of a missile interceptor in late May that took down a missile during a simulated attack on California can keep the continental U.S. safe until 2020.
This represents an incremental improvement in their missile capability, but it is a game changer if they can ultimately hit the United States.
And in Korea, where it's now morning, U.S. and South Korean forces have fired precision missiles into South Korean waters, a symbolic show of force in direct response to what the Pentagon's calling North Korea's destabilizing and unlawful actions on July 4. Peter? Hans Nichols, thank you very much. So how will the U.S. respond to this latest test? For more on what's happening at the White House and President Trump's possible options here, we get the details from NBC's Kristen Welker in Washington.
President Trump marking his first 4th of July in office.
Happy 4th of July, everybody.
Celebrating the country while trying to protect it, grappling with that new missile threat from North Korea after toughening his tone with Kim Jong-un last week.
The era of strategic patience with the North Korean regime has failed.
Now, once again, urging China to rein in its North Korean ally, not only requesting that China make a heavy move against North Korea, but over the weekend, a stern call with Chinese President Xi, warning the U.S. is prepared to act alone if necessary. The reality? China hasn't stepped up since that diplomatic dinner at Mar-a-Lago back in April.
The relationship developed by President Xi and myself, I think, is outstanding.
Before taking office, President Trump had warned North Korea that obtaining an intercontinental ballistic missile won't happen. Tonight, the White House is weighing options, including more sanctions.
There are not many diplomatic options. I think that we're very close, much closer than we've been in previous administrations, to a real military collision with North Korea.
Still, the White House sees military action as a last resort.
The bottom line is it would be a catastrophic war if this turns
into combat.
The president will have the chance to again press China's leader when the two meet at the G20 summit this week. Today, the Chinese president met with Russia's President Vladimir Putin, both leaders pushing for negotiations with North Korea. But the highest stakes will come on Friday when President Trump and President Putin meet, their first face-to-face being billed as an official event instead of an informal meeting, sending a signal the White House wants warmer relations despite revelations Russia meddled in the 2016 U.S. election.
He needs to be very clear with Putin that if he wants to engage in a cyber war, that America is prepared to engage in that war.
Tonight, Ambassador to the U.N. Nikki Haley is requesting an emergency U.N. Security Council meeting about North Korea. The Secretary of State released a statement moments ago calling for global action to stop a global threat. Peter.
Kristen Welker at the White House tonight. Kristen, thank you. Across the country, as families and friends gather for tonight's firework festivities, authorities are taking no chances, stepping up security on the streets and in the skies with a major show of force. NBC's Ron Allen has more for us.
With the nation's birthday bash well underway, the constant threat of lone wolf attacks on hard-to-protect public gatherings. In New York, more than 100 trucks filled with sand, 32 tons each, walling off streets for the first time where crowds gather for the Macy's fireworks. Police warning vehicle rental companies to watch out for suspicious transactions that could signal a ramming attack like in Nice last July. Thousands of cops now a normal part of the festivities.
We have to pay attention to what's going on in the nation and in the world. We saw what happened in Nice.
In Boston, new high-flying drones keeping watch tonight, first used over the Boston Marathon, able to zoom in on an object nearly a quarter mile away. And while America celebrates, a reminder today of the risks officers take. Capitol Police Special Agents David Bailey and Crystal Griner honored for their heroism, saving lives during a firefight with a gunman at a congressional baseball practice last month.
I'm greatly honored to be here. Thank you for the award.
The kind of attack, a soft target, a lone assailant, extremely difficult, police say, to stop.
Authorities continue to say there are no specific credible threats anywhere in the country. Here in New York, thousands are already beginning to gather for what promises to be a massive and hopefully safe celebration, the biggest anywhere. Peter?
That's for sure. Ron Allen on a gorgeous night here in New York. Ron, thank you. One more note this July 4th. It was back to the beach today in New Jersey. State beaches reopened after lawmakers reached a late-night budget deal. While announcing the end of the government shutdown that closed state beaches to the public, Governor Chris Christie was unapologetic after photos showing him soaking up the sun on one of those beaches. A frightening scene caught on camera today in Missouri. A house blown to pieces. Authorities say three people were hurt, two men and a woman, pulled from that home by neighbors who fortunately ran to the rescue. Thankfully, their injuries are not believed to be life-threatening. That explosion happening in St. Joseph, that's north of Kansas City. The cause tonight is still under investigation. Now to a growing and dangerous problem for police and first responders across this country. As the wildfire season heats up, recreational drones are hampering firefighters' efforts to save homes and in some cities triggering accidents, even blackouts. NBC News national correspondent Miguel Almaguer takes a look at this danger in the sky.
As hot, dry conditions fan flames across the West, a critical moment for the air attack. Tonight in Prescott, Arizona, a drone has halted air operations for the second time. Just last week, investigators say Gene Carpenter flew his drone into restricted airspace, forcing all 14 aircraft to the ground.
We've got homes threatened. We have firefighters on the ground that are threatened. We can't do anything aerially to support these folks.
The 54-year-old, who declined comment, charged with 14 felony counts of endangerment. Authorities say they suspect Carpenter in part because he posted these aerial photos online.
If you fly, we can't fly. And what that does is that puts those firefighters at risk on the ground.
Officials say recreational drones are a growing problem for fire commanders across the country, with at least 50 incidents over the last 2 years alone. And tonight, as wildfire season heats up, there are more than 30 large wildfires burning across the West. And it's not just fires. Drones pose a threat to everything from commercial airlines to infrastructure. This one falling from the sky into a pack of cyclists.
In February, a drone pilot in Seattle was sentenced to 30 days in jail after his drone struck a woman in the head at a pride parade in 2015. Tonight in Prescott, where a community is still reeling from the tragic loss of 19 firefighters who died here 4 years ago, an urgent call to ground drones before there's another disaster. Miguel Almaguer, NBC News, Los Angeles.
Now to the story of a British baby who's become the center of global attention. Both President Trump and Pope Francis have weighed in. And today, as little Charlie Gard turned 11 months old, an emotional dispute is pitting his parents against his doctors and the courts. We get those details tonight from NBC's Kelly Cobiella.
In a new picture, baby Charlie Gard's parents stand watch over their son, waiting for the hospital to remove his life support. It's not what they wanted.
We can't even take our own son home to die. We've been denied that. Do you not think we've been put through enough?
Charlie was born with an extremely rare genetic disease. He's deaf and blind, can't move or breathe on his own, has seizures and brain damage. Doctors say there's no cure. Still, his parents wanted to try an experimental treatment in the U.S.
If it doesn't work, we will let him go, but we will know that we've done everything that we possibly can.
British courts sided with the doctors, who argued the treatment would only prolong Charlie's suffering. Last week, the European Court of Human Rights rejected an appeal. The case has ignited a global debate. President Trump tweeting support for Charlie's parents Monday. If we can help little Charlie, we would be delighted to do so. Pope Francis said the parents' rights should be respected. Under British law, the rights of the child generally come first, unlike in the U.S.
The court sees itself as the final guardian, if you will, of Charlie and Charlie's best interests. And they have found that any effort to extend the treatment would only extend his suffering, the suffering of a baby that is going to die.
Supporters of Charlie's parents are now calling on the prime minister to step in. But Charlie's fate has already been decided. Tonight, Charlie is still being cared for at this hospital in London. Doctors say they're working with the parents to give them more time to say goodbye. Kelly Cobiella, NBC News, London.
And still ahead right here tonight, an NBC News investigation, what our team uncovered about a hidden danger on the high seas for families planning cruise vacations this summer. Back now with a warning for anyone planning a cruise vacation this summer. They're fun and certainly convenient for families. But an NBC News investigation also found a hidden risk that parents may not be aware of. We get more on that tonight from NBC's Tammy Leitner.
At first, 16-year-old Abby Smith didn't understand what was happening.
So I took my measurements, and he was, lifting my shirt and all that and pulling down my shorts. And, you know, I thought he was just being professional.
When did you realize he shouldn't have been doing that?
When he extremely touched me in places where he shouldn't have been touching me.
Abby says she was sexually assaulted by an instructor in the gym on a Carnival cruise.
When you go on a cruise, you do have a false sense of security.
An NBC News investigation uncovered these floating cities pose a hidden danger rarely discussed. Sexual assault is the number one crime on cruise ships, and a congressional report found more than one-third involve minors.
I was led to believe that my daughter's in a teen club, there's supervision, they're being kept safe.
We interviewed eight families across the U.S. and Canada who say their children were sexually assaulted at sea.
At no point in time did I think about my kid being given cocktails and walked to a room and forcefully thrown down on a bed and raped.
Some were given alcohol, others targeted by older passengers or crew members.
They got me very drunk and they proceeded to take off my clothes.
He walked in behind me and then he grabbed my waist and he started kissing my neck.
The cruise line industry says it has a robust system of security, keeping its more than 24 million passengers a year safe. And that allegations of serious crimes are rare, a small fraction compared to rates of crime on land. But maritime attorney Jim Walker, who has sued cruise lines, says these ships harbor the same dangers as any city, but with no real police and complex jurisdictional issues, crimes, especially sexual assaults, can go unreported and unprosecuted.
It happens more often than the cruise lines will admit, and it happens more often to little children than the cruise lines have ever admitted.
Most of the alleged victims we spoke to say they're suing because that is their best hope for justice. As for Abby's case, Carnival told us the employee was a third-party contractor, and because of conflicting information and lack of evidence, no criminal charges were filed. But Carnival acknowledged that something did happen. In email sent to the Smiths, our heartfelt apologies for the unfortunate incident. Carnival also offered them a refund, a complimentary cruise, and to pay for counseling for Abby. Many of the young victims we spoke with are now in counseling. One reportedly attempted suicide after the assault, and all are still traumatized.
So it really did take away my innocence.
Tammy Leitner, NBC News, Bedford, Texas.
We're here in a moment with the battle underway to prevent a repeat health crisis this summer. The Zika virus isn't in the headlines like it once was, but the CDC is warning people not to let their guard down, especially women who are pregnant or trying to be. NBC's Carrie Sanders has the latest on the travel warnings and precautions that families need to follow.
Ever since Brandy Hall Roque in Miami discovered she was pregnant, doctor's visits include routine tests for Zika, that mosquito-borne virus that can lead to severe birth defects.
It's always going to stay in the back of my mind. Until I give birth, the Zika scare will always be something that I'm thinking about.
Since the crisis last year, nearly 2,000 pregnant women have been diagnosed in the United States, 80 babies born here with birth defects. In Florida last year, almost 300 locally acquired Zika cases.
I am very much on the front line. I am one of the boots on the ground.
You know somebody who got Zika?
Yes.
Where there had been just 17 employees, there's now a budget for 59. So far, no Zika found. The only U.S. area with a travel warning, Brownsville, Texas. But a new study shows the mosquitoes that can carry Zika are in more counties than previously suspected. The warning for those who are pregnant, use repellent, wear long sleeves, and avoid travel overseas, where Zika is waning but still a threat.
Although we expect transmission to be lower in many countries, the risk is still there.
But even with all this effort, mosquitoes are not the only way Zika spreads. The virus can also be transmitted sexually.
Until there is vaccination, it's going to be something that's very hard to prevent.
Most at risk with Zika, the unborn children. Their mothers now taking all precautions. Kerry Sanders, NBC News, Miami Beach.
And when we come back on this Independence Day, wounded warriors on a new mission right here at home. Our July 4th Inspiring America is next. Finally, tonight, they're among America's most celebrated heroes, men and women injured on the battlefield. They return home with both physical and emotional scars. And in Chicago this weekend, the U.S. Armed Forces are waging a very different type of battle, competing against one another in the annual Warrior Games. It's a test of skill and endurance, but more than that, it's a chance to renew their spirits. Here's NBC's Ron Mott with tonight's Inspiring America.
Every day is a journey for Mike Nicholson. Just getting from point A to point B is a feat for any triple amputee. But the retired Marine sergeant makes a splash every time he pushes the body shattered by an IED in Afghanistan in 2011. Nicholson is competing at this year's Warrior Games, organized by the Defense Department, including teams from the UK and Australia.
Much more than fun and games to you.
Absolutely.
What do they mean to you?
They mean a lot. And you have that thought in the back of your head about just making your family proud, making your country proud, making your service proud.
After 2 years recovering at Walter Reed Army Medical Center, darkness settled in, he says, with depression and drinking.
It was hard at first. It really was. Stayed inside a lot, you know. Wouldn't really come outside when the sun was up kind of thing and hanging out in the bars too much. And luckily, I met my wife.
He credits wife Katie, whom he met at a mutual friend's birthday party, daughter Callie, and newborn son Sawyer for helping him find happiness again.
I could just see how much he wanted the sense of normalcy and how much he wanted to be himself again. And he was very lost. And I saw the passion behind all of this with the sports.
It's really inspiring. It really helps me, like, achieve what I think I can't do.
Strong wrist, strong wrist.
An athlete before his injury, Mike Nicholson is determined as ever to regain his top form. In these games, winning 3 golds and a silver in track, basketball and swimming finals to come.
Don't define us by our disability. Don't think we're out yet. You know, we're still in it. We're still in the fight.
A fight to win. Above all else, always a warrior. Ron Mott, NBC News, Tampa.
Now that is what is worth celebrating on this Independence Day. That is nightly news for this Tuesday night. Thanks for spending part of your holiday with us. I'm Peter Alexander. For all of us here at Nightly News and NBC, have a very happy and safe 4th of July. Good night.